Kia ora whānau. Kia ora, e tū ki te karakia. Now remember, you actually know the first part of the karakia now, don't you? And let's say it after me. Ki runga. Ki raro. Ki roto. Ki waho. And then the other part, okay? We'll get to the other part soon, okay? So we'll do that and then we'll sing National Anthem. And then we'll keep going, okay? So, here we go. Ki runga, ki raro, ki roto, ki waho. I nga te mahi, he tino rangatira. So, say after me, mahi.
Mahi.
Kia ora. Mahi.
Mahi.
Te mahi.
Te mahi.
Which means?
The work.
The work. Cool. Mahi. Ina te mahi. Ina te mahi. Ina te mahi.
Ina te mahi.
So, you are awesome at spelling Te Reo Māori. I've got the proper size whiteboard back today. I don't know what to do with it. Maybe I had it the other way.
Yeah,
I did. From the audio recording, you can't see this, never mind. Oh, intelligence is restored. Balance is restored to the force. Here we go. So where did I put my other hand? Okay. Ina te mahi. Ina.
Ina.
Ina. So spelling, please.
I.
N A. It's actually ina, so it's a little bit more like that. Ina te mahi. Te mahi, I think you're pretty good with that, aren't you? Te mahi, you've probably seen that last. And mahi is one of those words like tamariki and whānau that's used an awful lot now in the media, isn't it? You know, do the mahi, meaning do the hard yards, do the work, you know? Te mahi. But we need to just be aware for future reference that we were starting to get an inkling that in Māori, one word does for a noun, an adjective, and a verb. There's no, you don't get this changing from work to the verb is to do, or do you see what I mean? It's so you have to be really flexible in what that word means. And, okay, so ina te mahi, which literally means, well, apart from the work, that means by or from. And in this case, remember this is a school motto, and in the English it's by our deeds, and that was by what we do, which is our works, which is what we do. The Latin is agendo. An agenda is literally things to, is literally a to-do list in Latin. Did you know that? Agenda is a to-do list. Isn't that lovely? It's a to-do list. So, agenda. So, ina te mahi, he tino rangatira. Tino. He.
A-G.
Tino.
T-I-N-O.
Tino. Rangatira. I think you've seen that a few times around the place, haven't you? Rangatira. So, have we had this word he before? I'm not sure we have. It literally means a or can also mean some. In other words, it's what a languages teacher would call the indefinite article. A chief rather than the chief. By the works, by the deeds, in other words, any chief, any person who's a leader, rangatira here, is chief or leader, boss, and it literally comes from the word of tira, which is a line, and rana, which is we. So,
what is that word?
Sorry, this word here?
Yeah.
Weave.
Weave.
Weaving.
Oh, weaving.
Weaving. So literally, the person who brings the lines together, and of course the lines, you can imagine, would be the lines of a kapahaka, the lines of a battle group, really. Yeah. So, yeah. Because they're the person, that, in other words, that welds the team together. Interesting little definition, eh? So rangatira, but it's been used for all sorts of things, boss, leader, chief. There's actually the word ariki is the word for like an actual like high ranked chief. So it's not like the chief in that sense. It's like any leader. Leader's probably the best word. Now tino's an interesting word here because it doesn't quite make sense here. When you say pai, that's good. Tino pai means? Very good. So but that doesn't make sense, things, does it? A very leader? A true, that actually very means true, doesn't it? Doesn't it? True, truly? Verily, I say to you. Literally, very means true, verity is true. So, yeah, does that make sense? So, voracious is true, yeah? So, not voracious, veracious, okay? So, you get English lessons for this, isn't that great? Because if you know, if you have some of that knowledge, it does help you to put things together. So in other words, had tino rangatira. So I would put it here as in like a real leader. Does that make sense? Because what you're emphasizing here is like, that's the top-notch leader. The one who does the work, right? By your deeds, that's how you really earn that mana, that respect as a leader. Does that make sense? And so the school one, who is simply by our deeds, we are known. The original phrase here in Māori was actually ina te mahi, he rangatira. In other words, a chief, a leader, is known by their works, or gets that status from what they do. Now this is really important because in the Māori concept, there are two ways that you acquire, that you have mana. We know mana means status or prestige or sort of, you know, respect. You can be born with mana because you're the son of the chief, if you like. Okay? But you can also acquire mana by what you do. So a political activist person may come from quite a low-born family, in terms of chiefly lines, but they acquire mana from what they do. And that's the same in Pākehā culture, isn't it? It's not just where you're from, but what you actually achieve. So the word tino is there because when they wrote the school song, he rangatira didn't fit with the number of lyrics, the number of syllables. Ina te re mahi, he tino rangatira. It fits nicely in the song, our school song, but that doesn't. So, okay. So that's what we're saying. Ki runga, ki rau, ki roto, ki wahu, ina te mahi, he tino rangatira. A real leader. Any real leader is known by what they do. Okay, kia ora. So after me, ki runga, ki raro, ki roto, ki waho. We talked about how that might mean have all sorts of significance. Those words, not just, you know, I'm learning which directions they are, but what that actually means in terms of a person. And then, ina te mahi, ina te mahi, he tino rangatira. Kia ora, okay. And now you can go and swap that so that when we do our karakia next time, you can read your book there. Or you can actually just go with the flow. Kia ora. let's also go back over some of our greetings, just what you remember so far. So always wanting to use a bit of revision time here, just to sort of, you know, and I look at the book, or even better, if you can just pluck them out of your mind, which greetings have we had so far? Actually written up on the board. Do you remember? First one, lesson one was? Ata Maria. Okay, so Ata. Oops, Ata Maria. Okay, so... After me, Ata Maria.
Ata Maria.
Ata Maria. Ata Maria. It's the morning and it's the peaceful or pleasant, nice. Have a nice one.
Meaning what?
What? So that's peaceful or pleasant. And that's morning. And that, remember, brought up the idea that adjectives tend to go after nouns. You might go, well, what about this? And it's because it's not really an adjective. It's actually more like an adverb, if you want English, because it's used before noun, before adjectives like tenopai. So it's really more an adverb, if you want the grammar there. So that's why it doesn't go after. That makes sense? So tino will always go before things. Tenopai, tenopai. So, Atamari, any other things you remember? Paul Marie. So who of Paul Marie? Other end of the day, that's your appropriate one when you leave the lesson and you say goodbye to people. Because peaceful evening is really saying on night or evening. Literally darkness. Which also has implications with Māori religion. So ki te pō, haere ki te pō, is the world of darkness, in other words, the world of the dead. Now, that's very close to the Greek mythology equivalent of Hades. The underworld, literally, the world of the dead. Or, but it's tied up with other mythologies, of course. Anyway, pō Marie, after me. Pō Marie.
Pō
Marie. Kia ora.
Next one. Morning and night for the afternoon.
I'll leave that out in the meantime because it's not really used very much. So we're trying to just get the stuff you're going to see more. And I'm not even sure it's... Yeah. I just need to check.
Morning.
Morning. That's right. So morning. Kia
ora. Morning.
Which is just a transliteration of morning. So to get the sound of morning rather than morning, you need to say morning, not morina. Okay, does that make sense? Because it's morning, stress on the first syllable. Get the emphasis in the right place, yeah? 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 That's how you do it, yeah? The emphasis in the... Because if you don't, it's actually genuinely difficult for a native speaker of any language to understand. Stress in the wrong part of a word is much more of a problem for listening comprehension than... getting a, you know, I'm not saying the R exactly right or something like that, but it really is. So there's the stress there, right? So after me, morena. After me, morena.
Morena.
Morena. Morena. So just focus on that more. Morena. Just like morning. Okay. Other greetings?
Kia ora.
Kia ora. That was that very first lesson. Kia ora. Keep going. Which is be healthy and be good and be happy. Yeah. Tēnā koe we had in the US, what did we? Tēnā koe, which is literally, there you are. So it's an acknowledgement thing, it's a slightly more formal than, but not, doesn't have to be formal, but it's, oh, tēnā koe, like, good to see you, there you are, good to see you. And also with that, the plural one?
Tēnā
koutou. Okay. So after me, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koutou. Tēnā koutou. And this koutou, this O sound, is quite a tricky one to get at. But it's almost like how New Zealanders say O anyway. Because New Zealanders speak with diphthongs and mangleize their vowels. So New Zealanders, when we say vowels, they actually are two or three vowels in one go. If you're a native New Zealand English speaker, you wouldn't realize that. But if you've come here, you might have noticed that. Politely. Is that right?
I don't know, I'm
Kiwi. You really are. I don't know. Is that I suspect it is. We also talk very fast.
Is that true?
And mumble. And
so does everyone in every other country when they're speaking.
When they're speaking their own language, you can argue that, yes, absolutely. Okay, so after me. Oh no, that was that Koto. So after me, Koto? Koto. So it's quite a. Literally, in Māori, when you see two vowels, you literally just run one into the other to try and get the sound. So, o u, a e I o u. So, o u, you're trying to do o, o, running in one to the other. O, o. That's where you get that. And the same with au, o, o. And the same with ai, 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 which ends up being ai. Yeah, so that's where those sounds are coming from. Okay, go on. Any other greetings? Don't think any more have written down, so let's give you the ones that I've been sending you in emails. Yeah, here we go. This is more a rising one, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah? Nami, you get that in your little emails all the time from the companies, and it literally means the greetings, yeah? So, mihi, by the way, is what these, of course, all are. They're all greetings, now, mihi. And mihi can be just a... But it actually, more in Māori, is like a little bit more extended. A mihi is actually like a short speech, really. You know, introducing you, more like an introduction, almost. Not the full whai kōrero, a long speech, but a short mihi is a that sort of greeting, but that's how we use it here. So it's just saying... Remember, na is the word that means the, but it's plural. Yeah? So this is just means greetings. Well, you wouldn't say the greetings because you wouldn't say that in English, but that indicates that it's plural. Yeah. Ngā mihi. You might even get ngā mihi mahana. You might get. Has anybody seen had any words after ngā mihi on their email?
Ngā mihi nui.
Ngā mihi nui, yeah. So you might get nui afterwards. So nui means. Big. So, big greetings. how would you translate that in English? Many greetings, or and you're sort of trying to make it, you know, just sound bigger, sound more important, and just, not just a me, just like, me is almost like, you know, me is like, almost like regards. So this would be like best regards, or does that make sense? As a sort of, we have those sort of intensifiers in English too, best regards, or... warmest regards or whatever. So you
would you in greeting a group of people say tēnā koutou and follow it by ngā mihi?
Ngā mihi tends to be more like a written thing. It's been used a lot in emails and more a written thing. Yeah, more
standard.
Yeah, standard like email end of like a, and it's obviously a. Well, so obviously, to be a written thing, it means it's a later sort of, for Māori, how would we express this in Māori? Ngā mihi, you know, so just greetings. So I
must be compulsory for government departments.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. That's right. How do we say this? Exactly. No, and that's right. And so you're right. Some of those practices have spawned all sorts of like, you know, like, oh, how would you say that in Māori? Okay.
So you wouldn't say that.
It's not so much a spoken thing as far as I've come across. You even get ngā mihi mahana, which are warm, literally warm, but just leave that meantime. It's not quite so common. Other greetings? That's probably enough in the meantime, eh? I am going to branch out to a new song with you tonight. Because it's a song. So, and the reason again is because, you know, you're in these little gatherings and you go, okay, and then we do a little waiata at the end. And so Te Aroha gets done all the time. Everyone know Te Aroha? Right, okay. So another one that, and it sounds a little bit like a Sunday school song, and the reason is because it is, is the song E Toru Ngā Mea, which is a very similar sentiment as Te Aroha. This is a song saying, you know, what's it saying? Faith, hope, love. These are the important things. So, at one level, it's quite a, you know, general sort of song, except it's actually not. Because the song goes, these words, E toru ngā mea, there are three things. Ngā mea nunui, the big things, the important things. E ki ana, so says te paipera, the Bible. Oh, okay, so this isn't just a sort of, yeah, it is actually a Sunday school song. So there are three important things according to the Bible. Whakapono, faith. Tūmanako, hope. Ko te menui, the important thing, the most important. Ko te aroha, it's love. And it's actually a quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So that end of that love chapter, which is actually very widely known, read at funerals and weddings and goodness knows what, you know, love is patient, love is kind, that bit of the Bible. And then the end of it, it says, and then these three things remain, faith, hope and love, but the greatest is love. So it's just taking the words of that and saying, oh, we can do a way out of that. So there we go. So the good part is that it's done as a repeat back to the person singing. So you don't need any words. You just repeat back what I sing, the same, you know. Okay, it took you to Waiata? It took. It took. It took. It took. It took. Kia ora. And we won't write this down, so we'll sort of get to that maybe next time, the actual writing down. So e toru, toru is three, of course, to hear the toru pa. Ngā mea, the things. E toru ngā mea,
e toru ngā mea,
ngā mea nui,
ngā mea nui.
E ki ana,
e ki ana,
te pai pera,
te pai.
So repeating the words this time. E toru. E toru. So notice they say three the things. So this is how Māori, if they're counting something, they'll say the number first. E toru. Ngā mea. Three the things. Ngā mea the things. So notice also they don't say toru, they say e toru. Remember that we had that the other week about, what was the one we had e in front of? We had a word and we put e in front of it. I said, oh. Hmm? E tu, and then noho. And I was explaining that when we give commands in Māori, if it's just a two-syllable word or less, then you always put e in front of it to add to the rhythm. And likewise with names. So if your name is a short name, so like Hine, Ehine, or that's also just a word for a girl, or I think we mentioned Ehoa, which Lynn found out, that's an actual phrase, Ehoa, meaning friend, but they put E in front. So likewise with numbers, which mostly only have two syllables, Tahi, Rua, Toru, Fa, Lima, Ono, Fitu, Waru, Iwa, don't get to more than two until you get to Tikau. Okay, so E Toru, Ngā Mea. E toru?
E toru?
Ngā mea.
Ngā mea.
Kia ora. E toru ngā mea.
E toru ngā mea.
Ngā mea nunui. So just by itself, nunui.
Nunui. Nunui.
Now, that sounds a lot like the word nui, doesn't it? Which is big, right? So in Māori, one of the ways you do emphasis is by repetition. So a doubling of the syllable makes a repeated nui. So like, really important, really big, like important rather than just big. Okay? So nunui,
nunui.
Ngā mea nunui.
Ngā mea nunui.
E ki ana,
e ki ana.
E ki ana, e ki ana. Ki is a word that means to speak, as in to give a saying. Not just kōrero, which is just talk, 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 but ki is like the saying goes. In other words, an important thing to say. So e ki ana and the e ana are just like a way of making that into a verb. So e ki ana. E ki ana?
E ki ana.
Te paipera. Te paipera, which obviously is a transliteration of Bible, because there's no B in Māori. Te paipera. Whakapono. Whakapono. Which we've already had in the other song. Tūmanako. Tūmanako. Which is the hope. Ko te mea nui. Ko te mea nui. The thing big. Ko te mea nui. Ko te aroha.
Ko te aroha.
And you've already had that this word ko means what? Not much at all. Right? It's just at the start of it, you know, introduces like this, you know, I'm about to say something and this is the important thing, the subject of the sentence I'm about to say. So it's just a way of introducing a phrase. We had it in the national anthem, remember? Kia hua ko te pai, which you don't really need the ko, but it's drawing attention to it. Like, this is the important thing. Okay, so that's it. So just sitting down this time. We'll do it a couple of times through. So we're deliberately doing a lot of, just slightly frustrating if you want to see it written straight away. But unfortunately, we need to just do that a little bit. We do give it your writing eventually, and the reason is simply because your writing will interfere with how you think to pronounce it when you read it, because your reading brain goes back to English. Does that make sense? It'll default to that until you've had enough input of the speaking. So we're sort of going about halfway. It's a bit of the speaking. But if you think about it, how much speaking did you do before you learned to read? Years, didn't you? 2 or 3 years easily. So that's, but we're not going to wait for 2 or 3 years to write down. After
E toru amen, E toru amen, amen, nunui, amen, nunui, E ki ana.
Back to stuff too. This is very much like take you by the hand, just do half an hour, don't stress you out, don't, yeah. Come on.
Learning the times tables.
It's what?
Like learning the times tables.
Yeah, it is. It's complete learning. And again, if you think about your own language you learned things, you said them hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times to learn. Or you listened to them hundreds of times first before you started trying to imitate. And when you were imitating, you were looking at how the person's shaping them, you know. So you look at someone when you don't you a baby when you're teaching them language? So they can say sort of shape their mouth. The fascinating thing about babies and 2 year olds when they're starting to speak languages, there is no known limit for how many languages a 2 year old can learn. In other words, if I had a 2-year-old child and there are 10 or 12 of you here, 3, 6, 5, 5, whatever, 15 of us, if they knew 15 different people and met them every day who spoke 15 different languages, they would learn all those languages. But they would only speak them to the person that Does that make sense? Because as soon as they saw that person, they go, ah, how I speak to you is, yeah? And that's, there's no known limit, but it needs to be at that age, of course. As soon as you go later, it's harder. And the longer you go, the harder it gets. Furthermore, the sounds you make in different languages. Every baby in the world is born with the ability to make every possible language sound. So the ability of Kalahari Bushmen to speak in click languages is not because they're born with that ability. It's because the children learn that and copy it. What the problem for us is that we have now passed the age where it was easy to do that. And what happens in your brain is that the other language sounds gradually start shutting down if you don't use them. So when you come as a teenager to learn French or German or any language for that matter, Chinese, Japanese, Māori, that's the difficulty, is that you've passed the stage where it was easy to do that.
So it gives me a good out, doesn't it?
It's any stage. And of course it's different for different people how much that is, but the process is ongoing. The further on you go, the harder it is to get back to that.
Can we see that just once more?
Sure.
Yes.
And then we've got a cup of tea time. 25-2. You're doing overtime. This is hungry. Sorry. Eugene wants to give us a bit of attention. E torunga mea.
E torunga mea.
Ngā mea.